Hello and welcome to Faith Center. Thank you for joining us today. For more information on Faith Center, visit us online at www.faithcenter.cc. All the way from the Bronx. Come on, let's give it up.
Come on, let's give it up for your pastor, man of God, leader. What a joy to be here with you today. And man, you guys in the worship team, you guys rock. Come on, let's give it up for the worship team. Sometimes, you know, we come to church, we don't realize all the work that it takes to do that. And it's amazing. I was thinking of, as you guys were playing, I was thinking about Santana. Remember Santana? And I said, Santana misses calling, but you guys should be called, instead of Santana, Los Santos. Amen. You guys are awesome. Thank you for bringing us and ushering us into the presence of God. I honor your pastors because, indeed, he's a pioneer. There's nothing like starting a church, man. It's easy to take over a church. But beginning something is just like a rocket that takes off. You know, I don't know if you knew this, but to launch a rocket, 90% of all the fuel is used at the very beginning. Once you're in orbit and once you got it going on, then, you know, you don't need us. You already got momentum going on. So right now, you know, church, as you're beginning to grow, as God begins to set you up, God is going to strategically use every single person in this church. You're not here by coincidence. Can somebody say amen? Amen. See, I'm from New York. In New York, when we preach, we like people to talk back. Is that okay, church? Now, I was raised in Sylmar, went to Sylmar High, praise God. Your pastor went to school before I did. What year was that? Oh, you went to Sanford. Oh, you guys, they were the young people that came to Sylmar to beat us up. Come on. We got beat up, man. Sylmar had no, we just had no protection, man. I remember those days, Sanfe and Pacas used to fight a lot. I don't know, that's still going on around here? You're curving because now you're fighting the devil. Praise God, you're running the devil out of your neighborhood. Praise the Lord. I want to have my wife just come, and she could give you greetings. Another Sylmar graduate, praise God. And I apologize right from the beginning for all my Mexican brothers and sisters. I stole one from you guys. I'm Puerto Rican and Dominican. I'm Dominican, married to a Mexican, and have Mexican children. Come on, somebody.
Greetings. It's just amazing. As we're doing the worship and the last song, it just ministered to me because I was one of those little kids 40 years ago coming to this park and hanging out here, go swimming, summer camp, and just to see that you guys are here. And I just remember the gangs hanging around the park as a little kid walking by here, and I'm just saying, wow, God is amazing that he planted you here. And how I see the park change, it's transformed, it's different. But I just want to thank you for inviting us. I grew up here in San Fernando myself until the Lord took us to the Bronx and started a church there. But it's always a blessing to come back home and see everyone and eat the real good Mexican food. But thank you for inviting us. And truly is a blessing to be here with you guys and your pastors. And just love you guys. Amen.
All right. And my mother-in-law is here, Josefina. My sister-in-law is here. They're from Sylmar. And Rachel, she went to high school in Sylmar. Any Sylmar high school graduates here? Sylmar High? Come on, you rule. Go. All right. I want you to turn to your neighbor and say, neighbor. Okay, come on. Some of you need your spiritual witties this morning. Turn to your neighbor and say, neighbor, if it wasn't for you, I'd be the best looking person in this house. He You know, I believe God is up to something. How many believe God is up to something? God wants to move. And more than ever before, we need a move of God in our lives. I believe that we're living in dire times. Never in the history of Christianity, right here in the United States, have we found ourselves in the situation that we're in right now. And trust me when I tell you there's more coming. As an elected official in New York City, I'm in the Mecca of where politics is born. I'm telling you, I see more coming this way. I see it. I see the waves. I see things that if the church does not get ready, I'm telling you, we're going to become irrelevant. We're not going to be able to touch our neighborhood. But just like we saw in this song, I believe that God is raising up an army in this last day. Can somebody say amen? But what do you do when your heart is cold? What do you do when your heart has drifted? What do you do when you feel empty in the inside and you know that you're not where you're supposed to be? What do you do when we're having a generation where 2,500 churches are closing down every single month? What do you do in a generation when you have pastors, 50% of pastors committing adultery? What do you do when only 10% of Christians have ever told somebody about Jesus? What do you do when only 1% of Christians have ever met a disciple, and yet Jesus said, go and make disciples of all nations, and where his last command should become our first priority? What do you do? And this is exactly what we find in the book of Hosea, chapter 10, verse 12, where it says, sow yourselves in righteousness, reap in mercy, break the fallow ground, for it is time to seek the Lord. Church, if ever, listen carefully, I want you to understand that I did not come here today to give you a sermon. I came to give you the oracles of God. I came to give you a word from the Lord, a word from heaven. I hope you came ready to receive from the Lord. I hope that there is a house here that is hungry and thirsty for more of God, who is not interested in being entertained, but they're ready to say, God, we need you, for God I live, for God I die. What do we do? He says the first thing that we have to do is we need to break the fallow ground. And I'm telling you that if I ever have seen a generation where people have become cold, the heart has become hard, where people have lost the vibrancy, the passion for God, it's this generation. And more than ever before, we need a generation that understand that if we're going to have a revival, if we're going to have a move of God, how many of you want a revival, a true revival? And if we're going to have a true revival, there is a prerequisite, and that is preparation. And to have that preparation, we have to break the fallow ground. Now, this next illustration I'm going to give you, you could totally relate here. In Texas, they relate. In New York, we cannot relate because it rains a lot in New York sometimes. But you know you've been going to a drought. I don't know how many years it's been a drought, but every time I hear California, droughts and fires, fires and droughts. And it just be, and one thing you see about droughts is that when you have a drought, the ground becomes what? It becomes what? Hard. And then you could have an outpouring like you did a few weeks ago. Remember when it rained really hard over here and some of you pull out your big buckets? But you knew that water was going to come and it was going to wash away. In Texas, they had mighty rains come down. Mighty. I mean, it was just an outpouring, a downpour of rain. But what happened? People actually ended up getting killed. There were floods all over the place. Why? Because there was a problem. And the problem is that the ground had become hard. It was lacking the absorption power. It was lacking the ability to absorb the blessing. And we see a rain that was supposed to be a blessing, it turned out to be, for some people, a curse. How can that be? And today, I hear people say, God, send the rain. We need a downpour. We need a revival. And we say, God, why haven't you poured it out? Why have we not experienced the power of God like we used to? Why don't we see deliverance? Why we don't see people get baptized with the Holy Spirit like they used to? Why don't we see the drug addict getting set free? Why do people, when they come to church, no longer feel the power of God in their life? They don't feel the presence of God. Why are they not bowing down? And the reason why is because we need to plow, and we need to plow deep in our hearts. Because when you begin to plow, you increase your level of receptivity. And God wants you this morning to build, to begin to break in into that final ground of your heart so you can receive everything that God has for you, because I sense in this house that God is about to take this church to the next level. San Fernando, Pacoima, and Soma had no idea what God is going to do in this church, because God has a place for you. He has a building for you, but he first wants to build the house from the inside out so you can get ready to receive the masses of people that are hurting, that are broken, that are destitute, that are depressed, who are suicidal, who are bound by the world. And church, I believe that the time is now to break the fallow ground. How many are ready to break the fallow ground today? To say, God, I need you. I need you. Then when he poured out his spirit, the problem is not with the rain. The rain is a blessing. The problem is not even with the seed. The seed is a blessing. The problem is that Jesus in Mark chapter 4 is the condition of the heart. And I tell you, back in June, my church was growing 25% in 6 months. We're doing fantastically well, but I have to be honest with you. Something was missing. I felt like something was missing. I said, God, something is missing. And I started to pray, I started to fast, I started to seek the Lord hard that week. And every day I began to just break before the presence of God. And God just allowed me through his Holy Spirit to start breaking some of the things in my heart that have become hard, I've become cold. Can I be honest with you today? Can I be sincere with you today? Can we take the mask today of feeling all religious and pretending everything is okay? And can we be transparent? Can we be sincere before God? Can we have an open book before God and say, God, I'm not where I'm supposed to be, and I know it. And I tell you, the whole week, God begins to plow, and I began to plow in my heart. And that's, I remember that Sunday, I share a message, and I'm telling you, and it wasn't so much about the message. It was about the condition of the heart, and revival broke out. It broke out. We have 4 services in our church, but after the first sermon, I couldn't preach the other sermons. We just worship. People were just bowing down, crying before the Lord, just broken before God. People would be getting set free. Demons were coming out of people. I mean, it was just a tremendous move of God. Church, I believe that our city, I believe that our churches are ready. They're ready for a move of God in our churches more than ever before. I believe that what God is looking for is for prepared hearts. And I pray that today you'll be able to be honest with God and say, God, I'm ready to break the fallow ground. And then here's the next thing that will happen. We need to be broken with travail. Joel chapter 2, verse 17. And during Joel's time, the people of God had gotten into this place of dryness in their lives. They knew that God wanted to do something, but something was falling short. And he says, let the priest, he's talking to leadership, he's talking to those of influence. He says, who minister before the Lord, weep between the porticles and the altar. I tell you, we had some years ago, we had an experience that was beyond explanation. We were in a retreat one time. And in that retreat, I tell you, during that day, Pastor, it felt so peaceful. And I don't mean because there were no problems. It's just this overwhelming sense of peace. And that night, God is my witness, as worship is going on I tell you, those we only had three musicians, and they were barely making it. You know what I'm talking about. You know, they were just, you know, they were there. But, you know, they were not very good, but that night they sounded great. You know, they were like, wow. And then the presence of God came, and it was so powerful. Then all of a sudden, and we were praying for people, I heard a flute, literally a flute playing out loud. And I'm like, where is the flute coming from? And I look at the piano player. You know, I play some guitar, you know, fake it until you make it level. You know, and I look, I know it wasn't him. I know it wasn't the drummer or guitar player. But then there were so many people. We had over 100 and something people that came for prayer. And I remember saying, but the people. And we went back to the people, started praying. And can you believe it? I totally forgot about that moment. I went to sleep, 3 o'clock in the morning. My daughter gets up, Lisette. And Lisette gets up and she goes to the bathroom. When she goes to the bathroom, she begins to hear a choir singing. And not only in the bathroom, there was a gentleman, young man, I don't know who he was to this day. They told me this happened. So he was outside and he heard this choir singing outside. He knew what it was. And he freaked out so much, he started running. And he went to his bedroom. He put his sheets over and he hid. My daughter started saying, man, am I going crazy? Am I hearing things? She's trying to look where this is coming from. She went and got another youth leader. To make a long story, very, very short, 17 of them heard this choir. One of them was my son. My son is in the top 1%. Of his class, a college grad. He went to Columbia University, Ivy League, plays for an instrument, real bright kid. And I asked Joshua, you know I don't like to play with the things of God. You know I don't like fake. I don't like plastic. I only like real. And he said, Papi, this were angels. He said, how do you know? He goes, because the octaves that they were hitting, you cannot do what I heard here on earth. Praise God. Be to God. Those young people, come on, if you're going to clap for real for the glory of God. Let me tell you, they went to the gym. They prayed from 3 o'clock in the something in the morning all the way until it was time to leave at 8 o'clock in the morning. We went to church. When we got to church, I come out of my car. And I remember exactly where I was. I got out of the car, and one of the young persons who heard the angel sing, he said, did you hear what happened last night? I said, no. I said, well, the first thing was that 4 people heard a flute playing during the worship time. I went, oh, I heard it too, you know. You know, and then began to tell me briefly what had taken place. We went inside. Worship begins. Man, the glory came down. You know when it's thick. You know when you could cut it with a knife. You know that the word glory means heaviness in Hebrew. It's when the heaviness of the awesomeness, the glory comes from His holiness. It's the reflection of His holiness. And the holiness is because God is whole, because He's an altogether great God. And God is reflecting His holiness through His glory. He begins to show His splendor. And all of a sudden, when it was time, just like Pastor did, it's time to do the offering and announcement. And I just couldn't, church. I'm telling you, I couldn't get there. I just said, well, if we want revival, we're just going to let God do His thing. And let me tell you, we have worship from 9 o'clock in the morning to 2 o'clock in the afternoon. People were walking in from one service and from coming in for another service, will walk in. They sense the presence of God so deeply. They told me this literally. He said, I walked in, I had to walk out, repent, and then walk right back in because the glory was so heavy. And I believe, come on somebody, I believe that God is calling us to a season of travail. And what are we travailing for? What are we weeping for? What are we crying out for, God? We're crying out for a demonstration of His glory, of His presence, of His awesomeness. Because that was God's intention from the very beginning. If I could be just very blunt with you today, I think that people are coming to church today and they're looking for something, they're not finding it. We think they're looking for how good we sound, and that's important. And I honor your level of excellence that you have here. Amazing. You have more musicians than I do, Pastor. Come on. What did you get out to? I mean, this is amazing. I need to talk to you, praise God, about this. I mean, but I think people are looking more than that, right? I think they're not looking for nice sermons, nice music, nice ushers, nice children's church. Those things are very important. Please, I'm not an extremist here. But I think they're looking for something more. You say, Pastor Fernando, what are they looking for? They are looking for the presence of God to show up. They're looking for God. They're looking for God. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 24. It says, so when you all prophesy, something's going to happen. They're going to be convicted of heart. It says there. It says, going to be confronted by all. It says, and they're gifted. It's talking about the seekers. It's talking about the new people. They're going to do this. This is what it says. It says, they're going to come, and that the secrets of the hearts are going to be revealed. And then they're going to bow down. Watch this. They're going to go bow down and worship. And then he says one thing there that just caught and just gripped my heart. And he says that they will say, God is here. Oh, church, I don't know about you, but that's what I want. I want people to walk into our churches. I want them to be able to say, God is in the house. God is here. God is here. God is here. Can somebody give a shout like you know it's going to happen in this house? I'm telling you, we need a vision of need. A vision of need that says, I can no longer live like I live right now. I can no longer live a lukewarm life. I can no longer have Jesus tell me like Revelation 3:17, but you do not realize that you're wretched, pitiful, poor, blind, and naked. Listen, don't get so impressed with big crowds. I've been in big churches. I've spoken in big churches. I've been to 30 countries and preached. We do a lot of work, but listen to me. You could have a crowd. You could have a crowd and no disciples. You can have a house full of devils. Come on, somebody. You ever heard the story of the four preachers? They got together, and they wanted to confess their sins. Pastor, you haven't related that one yet? Okay, let me lay down one on you. They got together, and they said, the first one said, we preachers, we can't share our sins with the church because, you know, the church gossips and chismoso bochincheros. So, you know, we let's just share it among each other. And the first one said, well, my sin is that after service, I get so hungry that I steal the money from the church and I go to the best restaurant. I go to In-N-Out Burgers. And then from there, I go hit all the other ones. It's all day long. And the other pastor said, how can you do that? He's just stealing from God. But that's what we're here for. We're here to share. Confess our sins. The second one say, well, my sin is that to service, you know, I preach with everything that I have and my lungs get tired, so I pull out a big Cuban cigar and I just smoke it all. How can you do that? You're destroying the temple of the Holy Spirit. The third one said, but then they said, well, that's what we're here for. We're here to share. And the third one said, well, I don't want to share because, you know, I feel ashamed. He goes, no, that's what we're here. So, well, my sin is that after service, I get so thirsty that I pull out a big 40 Corona. Orale, pues. And I begin to drink it, and I just get so intoxicated, and, you know, I just feel like, oh, wow. Well, how can you do that? The Bible says do not get drunk with wine or anything like that. But that's what we hear. So they look at the last guy. They ask him, well, what's your sin? Oh, no, I can't share. You guys will never forgive me because my sin is a horrible sin. No, what's your sin? Oh, I said, okay, my sin is that I am a gossiper, and I can't wait to get out of here to tell everybody about your sins. Church, it's time to be broken. It's time to be broken about our gossip. Can somebody say amen? I'm telling you, it's time to be broken about resentfulness. You want a church that is thriving? Let's stop being bitter about little things. We get so bent out of shape about the little things. Oh, he didn't recognize me, and I wasn't lifted up. Or, they didn't let me do this, and I wish. And how come that one gets to do that, and I don't get to do that? Oh, please stop all the petty little fights. The world's going to hell in a basket. We're losing our young people. We're losing this nation, and you're worried about your little feeling. Oh, church, man, we have a broken church. Man, we have a church of the brokenness that they will go before the Lord and say, God, we are going to weep for Sanfe. We're going to weep for San Fernando. We're going to weep for Silmar. We're going to weep for Pacoima. Oh, God, I pray, oh God, that you would deal in my heart with all the hatred, with all the bitterness, with all the lust, with all the selfishness, with everything that's inside of me. Church, let me tell you when revival comes. Revival comes when the grip of darkness is broken and the kingdom and the dominion of God comes in our heart. And when that happens, oh, I'm telling you, there is no weapon formed against you that shall prosper. I'm here to tell you that the gates of hell will not prevail against a church. Oh, I'm looking for a church that is ready to say, I'm ready to advance the kingdom of God and see the glory of the Lord fill the earth. Can somebody say amen? Come on, give a shout like you know it's going to happen. Turn to your neighbor, say, neighbor. Come on, say, neighbor. It's going to happen. Turn to at least three people, tell them it's going to happen. Praise be to God. Here's the last thing, because I want some time for prayer. Sometimes we can preach a lot and not pray. You know what I'm talking about? I'm telling you, the last thing I want to share with you is this. I believe that we need to unleash the supernatural upon our city. Can somebody say amen? We need a demonstration of the glory and the power of God. We need what I call a God did it zone. A zone when people be able to say, I don't know how that happened, but the only explanation that I have is that God did it. I'm here to tell you that God is uncontainable. That's why it's going to be unexplainable. Can somebody say amen? It's going to be unexplainable. They say, how did that happen? How did that happen? See, when the supernatural happens, you don't even have to tell. You listen, I there's been seasons in my church. I'm telling, okay, go evangelize, bring somebody. And you know what? And a couple of people trickle in and so forth. But when the supernatural happens, I don't have to tell my church to bring people, Pastor. Because people be like, you got to see, you missed it last week, man. The power of God was there. People got touched. People got set free. We had a lady in our church. As a matter of fact, we did her daughter's wedding yesterday, and that's part of the reason we're here in California. We were in Arcadia doing the wedding, and yesterday she reminded me how she came to church. She came with a stick, you know, and she just had to stay and to walk, and the doctors told her you're going to have to get an operation, but there's nothing for sure that could happen. And she said, Pastor, can you pray for me? And then we had a healing service. We're praying for people. The power of God is moving. And I went to her. I laid my hands on her knee. And I said, in the name of Jesus, go ahead and move it. And she said, no, I can't move. I said, move your knee. You know, you got to tell people sometimes, just move it. Praise God. Turn to your neighbor and tell them, move it, move it. You got to keep on moving. Even the world is telling you got to keep on moving, moving. And we pray. I pray for her. And I'm telling you, she began to move her knees. Then we continue praying. After service, I saw a stick. Somebody left a stick. I said, who left this walking stick? You know, 2 weeks later, she shows up and says, oh, I forgot to tell you, Pastor. It's amazing. People get healed. They tell you 2 weeks later, you know. You know, I forgot to tell you what happened. Well, when you prayed for me, I got healed, Pastor. And I have not been able to wear high heels for years. And look at me now. Praise God. I got high heels for Jesus. Come on. And yesterday, she was in high heels for her daughter's wedding for the glory of God. Now, this summer, I went to Cuba. And we went to Cuba. We went to preach in Dominican Republic. We had churches in Dominican Republic. We went to Haiti and different other places, right, in Peru. But we went to Cuba, and I'm sharing that same story. I'm sharing that same story, but I'm also sharing about how God healed my heart resentfulness towards my father. And God had to heal my heart from from a father that was not affectionate, from a father that didn't affirm me a whole lot, and so forth. And then this lady comes. She had a scar, man, I'm telling you, like, wow. You know, not, it wasn't from gang banging, okay, people? It was that the Cuban doctors, which, by the way, they are very good. They are excellent doctors over there. They did a surgery and just messed up the whole thing, and she couldn't move her leg. I called to her, and I said, in the name of Jesus, I said, move your knee. She's telling me, Pastor, you don't understand. I cannot move. I said, move your knee. And she started moving her knee, and then she started jumping. She went Pentecostal, me, praise God. She's like, oh, God, gracias, Señor, gracias. Estoy sana, estoy sana. And you know, when that happened, everybody's like, I want some of that, too. I want to touch some of that. Because nobody believes it until they see it. But if you see it, if you believe it, you'll see it. Praise God. And I'm telling you, she later on, I have it right here. If you don't believe me, I have her testimony right on my phone. And she said afterward, you know, the reason why I didn't receive my healing is because I have resentfulness towards my brother and my sister because they robbed me of the inheritance of my father. And over there in Cuba, the average person makes $25 a month. And she was about to inherit $150,000. And you can imagine what that's like here. You might as well say $50 million over here. And she said it was until that moment. She said, Pastor, I had to forgive. What she was doing, she was breaking the fallow ground. She was broken with traverses. At that moment is that I felt the freedom, and I knew that at that moment I could receive my healing. And not only her, but her backslidden daughter, that very day, that very moment, she also came to the Lord. I'm here to prophesy to somebody here today. Something's about to break loose in your life. The supernatural is about to be unleashed. Some of you got to break those doubts. Some of you got to break this honor. You had this honor all your life. You don't know how to honor authority on your pastors. And God is saying today, honor your pastor. If you honor your pastor, I'm going to honor you. I will lift you higher than you could ever lift yourself because you had issues with authority. You had issues with your father or your mother, your grandmother, your grandfather. And I'm telling you today, God wants to unleash something so supernatural, so powerful, because this is what God told me this morning. God told me as I was praying for you this morning that a ladder is about to come down from heaven in this place, and you're going to get the glory back in this house. And just like El Niño is coming soon, a spiritual El Niño is coming to this house. Get ready to plow. Get ready to receive for what God is about to do. Let's stand together, Church of the Living God. Let's stand together. Father, we praise you. Musicians and worship leaders, if you could come and join me. Hallelujah. Can you just begin to do? Don't even wait for the messages right now. In your heart, you're saying, Pastor, I need that message was for me. I need a revival in my life. I need an awakening. I need a new desire for God to be awakened. I need a new hunger for God. I want to take it to the next level. I want to go to the next dimension in God. I want to sense God's presence. I want to be a carrier of the glory of God. I want to be a carrier of the power of God. I want to break every change. I had the desire, but I haven't had the power. I need 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 the power of God. Oh, we worship you, Jesus. Oh, Father, we need a touch of your spirit in our hearts. We need a move of your spirit today. I'm telling you, I know that God could work right where you're standing as much as coming to the front. But if today you say, Pastor, I'm hungry, I'm ready to leave all fear, I'm ready to leave all pride, I'm ready to leave behind all bitterness, I'm ready to plow the ground, I'm ready for God to deal with my dryness. Pastor Fernando, I've been dry. Estoy seco. I am dry. I need a touch of God's spirit. I feel barren. I need more. I pray, but the heavens have been like brass. I'm telling you that God is going to give you a season of the open heavens in your life, but you have to come broken before Him. no pretending, removing all hypocrisy, removing all the masks, all the, I'm okay, Pastor, I'm this and that. And you know. Listen, I'm preaching, I'm leaving, but you're staying. And somebody got to carry the banner right here in San Fe. Somebody, and it's this church. God has put a finger on this church. God has marked you with destiny. God has marked you with greatness. And today you're ready to let go of that fear. You're ready to let go of that pride. The two things that will stop us. I want you to do something right now. I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand and bow your head. I'm going to ask you to take a step of faith. I want you to come in the front with me, because I'll be the other one who's going to raise my hand and say, God, I need more. I need more brokenness in my life. I want prayerlessness to be out of my life. I want prayer to come back. I want fasting to be stronger than ever. I need it, Jesus. Come on, just make your way up. Just everybody else who wants it. You want it. You know, when you want something, you go after it. It's funny, when we get to become Christians, in the world, you were not afraid to fight somebody. In the world, you were not afraid to curse somebody out. In the world, you were not afraid to do whatever. We become Christians and we become so soft, and God is saying, I want you back to me. I want you to come back with everything that you have. Oh, we praise you, Jesus. Oh, hallelujah. Glory, glory, glory. And as the worship team just lead us into worship right now, and they're going to sing unto the Lord, I want you to lift your hands to the Lord. We're going to take some time to pray, as time is allowed here. And I want the leaders to come and help me pray as well. We're going to see the power of God move in this place. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Go ahead, my brother.
I worship you, Almighty God. There is that.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Lift your hands, and I want you just right now, just I want you to go deeper, church. Can we just stop being churchy and just say, Lord, I'm gonna be a God seeker today. I'm gonna seek you with all of my heart, wherever you're standing, con todo tu corazón, with all of your heart. Let's just pursue God. Let's just press in right now, Lord. We want you, Jesus. We worship you. Worship. Come on, let's worship. Worship. Worship is not worship until you say it. Say it, because whatever comes out of your mouth comes out of your heart. And God wants your whole heart. Worship. We worship you. We worship. There you go, church. Worship. Worship. Put the shame aside and worship. Put the fear aside and worship. Put what people think about you aside and worship. Oh, behold the Lamb of God and worship. Put your eyes in Jesus. You need a new vision of the throne of God and worship. We worship you, Jesus. We worship you, Jesus. We worship. Worship. Yes,
Lord, worship you, God, forever.
God, we're just going to have them pray for all the musicians because your wife said to. So, but I believe she's hearing from the Lord. So.
Hallelujah. I want you to stretch forth your hands to this tribe of Judah. Judah means praise. The tribe of Judah were the first ones as they march forward, and this church is about to march forward. You're about to double step it. And Father, I pray for an anointing in this worship team, that as worship goes forth, people will get healed. As worship goes forth, people will be restored. Amen. As worship goes forth, the chains, they will literally hear the chains dropping, oh Father. They will know that something is happening in the house of God. I pray, oh God, we pray and we declare that they will have an open heaven. They will have an open heaven, oh God, that they will play from this day forward. It will not be a struggle. It will be a satisfaction. It will be a delight and not a duty. Oh, Father, that they will even smell the dew of heaven in this house, oh, Father God. Oh, Father, out of this worship team shall come forth new music. Music, oh God, that is going to bless not only this church, but the body of Christ, oh God, that will have worship, that will honor you, that will put you first, oh God. Worship that will be accompanied by your holy angels, oh God. We worship you, oh God. Lord, we pray for a oneness in this team, oh Father, that will be unbroken and cannot be divided, oh God, by any force, oh God. That, Father, they will be able to flow in the Spirit. Their thoughts will become literally one, oh Father. They will even know what the other one is thinking by the Spirit of God, oh Father. Oh Father, we bless you, we bless them in the mighty name of Jesus. Praise God. I want you to stretch forth your hand towards your pastor. Praise God. Hallelujah. 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 You have fought the good fight and you have fought it well. We bless you, Father, for such a great man of God.
Amen.
He's a pearl. God, he's a people's pastor. Lord, today, oh Father, we one, two, Lord, declare, God, that Dad, you know what I see? I just see that there's a lot of things that have been wrapped up. It's like a lot of bonds, a lot of letter strips around something that is just full of stuff that is about to be loosened. You've been waiting. You've been asking God.
Yes.
You've been saying, Lord, how long? God says those things are going to happen, and they're going to happen quickly, and they're all going to happen all at the same time.
Amen.
But be of comfort, says the Lord. I have prepared you for such a time like this. I have prepared you for this moment.
Yes.
From the even before you came to the Lord, even before you came to Christ, the Lord says today, I prepare you for this moment. Things are going to bow to you. Are about to enter into divine acceleration, says the Lord. Acceleration. Because the time is short. says the Lord. And there are many that need what you are carrying in your belly today. And so, Lord, we ask you that you will make every provision. God, that building that he's been asking you for, I pray that you will put it into his hand. It will be so miraculous that everybody will have to say, God did it. God did it. God did it, and God is going to get the glory.
Yes, Lord.
Oh, Father. Lord, every fear of failure be broken, oh God, in the name of Jesus. The level of expectancy, oh Father, in anticipation with expectation to what you're going to do, Father. Oh Father, it will be contagious, oh God, in the name of Jesus. And I pray for supernatural growth. You will surround him with faithful leaders that will honor him, who will speak life into him, who will give him wise counsel, oh God, and they will hold his hands up, oh Father,
yes,
God, knowing that he's the Moses in this house, and you have even given him a true Joshua in this house, oh Father. We bless you. We thank you in the mighty name of Jesus. And if you believe it, shout like you know it's going to happen.
Yes.